The problem with fashioning a complete free energy circuit is to get into the mindset of the people who worked with it 100 plus years ago, between 100 and 140 years ago, between the 1931 Pierce Arrow demonstration of Nikola Tesla in Buffalo, New York, going as far back as Oliver Heaviside's solution to the telegraph transatlantic cable problem of the 1880s, and Nathan Stubblefield also of that decade. The problem is that what I'm learning now is that when you make the circuit too complicated, you add too much impedance. Impedance is a potential source of energy, but when you release that potential by adding in capacitive reactance in various locations in the circuit to overcome that impedance, which the impedance can come from various sources. It can come from diodes, resistors, inductors. Regardless of where it comes from, when you overcome that increased impedance due to an increased complex circuit, you have a greater instability, which is harder to manage and regulate. And so the circuit wants to explode in your face and won't give you the latitude to manage that explosion, to make it a controlled explosion so that you can get practical use out of it. So the circuit has to be kept simple. So in today's world, what we do is we waste voltage because everything is copper-based. There's no iron in any of our transmission cables or in our coils or transformers coils. And so we have to make up the difference by applying tons of voltage, and we get away with it by making things complicated when they could have been simple. So we have motor controllers. For instance, Alan Cuccioni invented the motor controller for the EV1 and then transferred it over as becoming a silent partner with Elon Musk to found Tesla Motors. Because Alan Cuccioni is a race car enthusiast, an electric car race car enthusiast. And so he designed his motor to match his motor controller and vice versa. But in Tesla's day and in the Amon brothers' day of the 1931 and 1921 respectively, they had no use for a motor controller, and nor would it work, because they were trying to keep their impedance as low as possible to make it manageable. It's very difficult to manage over unity when it's of the explosive variety, which is the only kind I study, because I get bored with anything less than explosive over unity. Because I'm looking for power sufficient to power a race car, an electric race car, which is more than adequate enough to power a home. And yet, the power source to drive this should be no more than a postage stamp size solar panel that are on wallet or credit card size calculators intended to be stored in our wallet. I mean, that's literally the parameters I impose on myself, which requires that I always go for the extreme. But how extreme can I, how less than too much extreme can I shoot for and still be able to manage it? Okay, and still get a lot of power outcome from it, a very high efficiency rating, 99.99999%, when it's 1,000,000 to 1 or something, output versus input. Any case, efficiency, 99.99999% with regard to how much potential energy I'm reusing, potential energy in the form of frequency, capacitance, inductance, various things that I can use that are not energy by themselves. They're not kinetic energy, energetic sources, but they are potential sources of energy which can be reused. And so how efficient is my reuse of that, considering the losses that are going to happen, the thermodynamic losses, that's an automatic given, and still come out ahead by 1,000,000 factor to 1 of output over input. So in order to be manageable, the circuit has to be simple. That means no motor controller, and everything has to be designed in which the power station alone should be sufficient enough to deliver power to the motor, and we're not looking to make things efficient because we don't have to. We're not going to have a race car. We're going to have a leisure car for the consumer. And we don't want it to be a golf cart like the Amon brothers were working with. We want it to be more like Tesla's version in 1931, you know, powering a 4,000-pound Pierce Arrow EV conversion. That's a lot of weight. But once you get it going, 90 miles an hour, it's don't hit anything, you know? it probably needs pretty good brakes. wear out a lot of disc brakes, disc pads. It's got to be simple. No motor controllers. So now I have to study. I know I should study three-phase motors because I have yet to understand them. I understand single-phase motors only because I watched the video, and then I went and bought an ice cream machine, a kitchen appliance from a thrift store, and it failed to have all the parts when I took it home. I couldn't run it. But I couldn't rotate the canister to make the ice cream, but the motor worked. So I took apart the motor and I studied it and I learned about single phase motors and I simulated it and I learned a lot. But I still don't know how three phase motors work, AC three phase motors. And I also need to figure out how my latest design of an over unity power station can work in conjunction with the motor load and not require any pulse width modulation whatsoever. Because I've been assuming up until now that, oh, I'll leave it for somebody else to figure that out. No, it's not going to work, because now I understand why. It has to be a direct connection between the power station and the motor load, and there can't be anything in between adding impedance on top of whatever I have originally designed it to work with. So it's not a question of resonance, as is the popular term, the popular concept of how to get greater efficiency or even over unity out of the thing, because it doesn't work on resonance. It works on impedance. Resonance has nothing to do with it. I've already done one simulation of impedance matching using Paul Falstead's contribution to that topic. You know, he simulated impedance matching, but he had it in multiple circuits. He had it divided up. So I combined them into one circuit and I got this escalation of the sine wave whose amplitude kept growing, but not the frequency. See, when I do my stuff based on impedance, not based on resonance, the frequency increases along with the amplitude. And it's not a sine wave. It never is. It's a triangle wave. It's not spikes either. Spikes means that there's too much voltage clogging the system, building up, preventing the movement of current. And I've done so many of those, I'm sick and tired of them. So now I try to focus on what I've learned several months ago is parallel capacitance placed in parallel to an inductive load, a coil, to soak up the voltage that's piling up on that coil because the coil is producing it, and remove it so that the coil can function as a current component, creating magnetism as a result of the current flowing in the coil. But it can't do that if the voltage gets in the way, building up as a side effect from the coil inducing that voltage buildup as a byproduct of inductive reactance, creating inductive impedance, whatever. As far as I'm concerned, it's one and the same thing. I don't worry too much about some things, some technicalities. Anyway, so now that I've got to refocus my attention on the circuit based on I need to learn about three-phase motors. I need to put a capacitor across the inductive load without putting any full diode bridge there, and possibly putting one, no more than two diodes flanking maybe both sides of the inductive load, but in line, pointing in the same direction, so that I get at least half the energy out of it per half cycle. Because I'm trying to shoot for the Amon Brothers version, which is probably a DC motor in a golf cart situation. But I remembered now, thinking about that, there's a Tesla patent on the combination of an AC source with two batteries, two DC sources, and two loads placed in a circle, fed by the AC source. And so the batteries have to have a voltage that's, let's see, the AC source has to have a voltage that's equal to or less than the voltage of each battery, and the voltage of each battery has to be equal, and they're both pointing in the same direction, creating a DC circular motion in this closed circle that's fed on two opposite ends by the AC source. Now, it doesn't matter too much what cycle speed you have on the AC source, because ultimately what is going to occur inside the closed circular loop involving the batteries and the two batteries and the two loads is a DC flow. The AC is going to contribute first during one half cycle and then on the other half cycle coming from the other direction. And so without the use of a full diode bridge, he managed to add AC to an already pre-existing DC in a closed loop. The DC occurring in a closed loop. And I did a study of that, and I did two variations. And I have it on my website, vinyasi.info/N, the letter N as in Nancy, the letter E as in Edward, the two first letters of negative resistance, or negative impedance, if you prefer. At the time, I was thinking mostly of negative resistance or negative current. So I did a study of that, but ultimately it's his patent that matters because, you know, how do we keep things simple and yet still work within the limitations of a DC load? Because that's what I'm trying to focus on in the Amon Brothers case. I don't know what he did in his Pierce-Arrow demonstration. I can't begin to even guess at what he did. All I can figure on is that they were not radio tubes and he was not receiving from somewhere being broadcast the power. Nope, those radio tubes were replacing those vacuum tubes that were not radio tubes were replacing certain components within the Amon Brothers setup, because I think what he did was he took the Amon Brothers setup and made it more efficient. Or, to look at it a different way, the Amon Brothers took his system and downscaled it into a format that they could handle. Whichever way you want to look at it, because I'm pretty sure Tesla came up with it first, and they just read his patent and said, we can do something with this. And they, you know, were read up on Oliver Heaviside and Nathan Stubblefield. So they had a pretty good idea of how to approach the problem. So now I have to look at the motor load and focus on that and try to keep things simple and try to be self-reliant and don't expect some other electrical engineer to solve these other problems for myself, for me, on my behalf, because it's not going to work. I mean, they could, but they have to do it this way and not the way they're accustomed to, because it won't work by the reasons I've already stated. So I think this is an important turning point in my study of the matter. You know, I'm reaching all these different thresholds that really makes a difference. It really elates me because I appreciate the fact that I have a better grasp on the problem than I've ever had before, but I still don't have the full picture, or else I would have built something by now, wouldn't I? Kept it secret to myself, or anonymously given it away to somebody and get a lump sum from them and never hear from them again because I don't want to be associated with the amount of heat that they're going to attract from all the competition. Military, government, you know. They're going to get a bankers. They're going to get a lot of competition, and I don't want that heat. Let it be somebody else, nice and young and vivacious and full of spunk, because I'm too old for... I've been an activist all my life, and I don't need more of that to face, you know. It's okay online, you know, or, you know, you don't have to deal with somebody face-to-face, but, oh, boy. Anyway...